So it's a privilege for me, and it's exciting. And I pray that somebody hears from the Holy Spirit today, no matter what I say, even if it's all wrong, that you're going to hear it correctly from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to open up in prayer. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we just give you thanksgiving with our lips, and we praise your name, and we thank you that this is the day that you've created. We are a new creation in you, and that all the power that you've given us through the unconditional love of the Holy Spirit's in us to will and to do as you please. And we're going to believe that. We're going to stand firm on it, and we're going to hear directly from the Holy Spirit today. So we give you thanks for that in advance, and I just pray that the Spirit rests upon the ears of these people today and the people that are listening online. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. So, excuse me, as Jeff said, I'm overcoming something. I always seem to have a challenge right before I preach. The devil's trying to keep me from doing this, something I really like doing. But the first time I preached a year ago, I preached on the Bride of Christ. And I like to do a little bit of a kind of a kind of go back and a refresher, because there's always a point of where I'm going. But the Bride of Christ was specifically on the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The wise ones had oil in their lamp, the foolish ones did not. And the foolish ones went to the marketplace to buy oil. And the marketplace represents the law. You cannot buy your way into the kingdom of God. It's a free gift. Christ said in Revelations to the seventh church of Laodicea that you can only buy it from me. You cannot buy anywhere else. So that was very clear. I gave examples on how do you have the Holy Spirit in you? How do you have the oil in your lamp? And when Jesus said, you know, when you did it unto me, when you fed me, you clothed me, you tended to me, that's when ministered unto me. And then those who are saying, hey, Lord, I did all these great things in your name. How come I can't get in? And he says, you know, I never knew you. You didn't do these things. They were doing it under the law. They were doing it ritually, and they didn't get in. So we kind of understand the Bride of Christ, the wise virgins, have the unconditional love of God in their heart. And so then my next sermon was the opposite of the bride. It was the whore. And we talked about the whore, and the whore is the law. The whore is religion. Religion is man's way of trying to be good over evil through his own power. And that the whore sleeps with you for money. You know, the bride does it for love. The whore always wants payment. The law always wants payment. The whore wants to control the world through money. It's temporal. It never lasts. As Moses, when he came down from Sinai, he had the glory of the Lord on his face. But as he departed God, the glory faded. The law has power in its presence when you're doing it. And all men have been given the law, and the law does have power. It does have blessings too, but it's temporal, and it doesn't get you into heaven. And so all the kings have slept with the whore, the law, or religion, to manipulate the people of the world, and we'll do so again in these last days. My third sermon was on perfect love. And that was really kind of your power and what's inside you. And I really wanted to make a point that perfect love is love from the Holy Spirit. And man is not born with perfect love. We're born with conditional love. And that's a love that loves me. It's selfish love. It's kind of a survival of the fittest. We're all born with a nature that says, I'm going to survive, me first, and whatever it takes. And you kind of have those self-interest survival tactics are kind of in three different classes: the poor, the middle, the rich class. The poor, they just care about, you know, being fed. the middle class, you know, really cares about security, and the rich class cares about, you know, power. And that's, Jesus was tested on all three of those by the devil. But again, you know, when you look at selfishness, self-love, it doesn't work whether you're the poor class, the middle class, or the rich class, because you're always about yourself. And the unconditional love that God gives you through His Holy Spirit is your power. And that's a love that's not natural, it's supernatural. And it's a love that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. And it's a love that doesn't look at anything in return. It doesn't have an order to it that's, you know, I believe that it's not God first, others second, me third. Because if it's perfect, there's no order to it. It's just, it's unconditional love, perfect love, that perfect love that God has for you. The love that He has for you is the same love that you have for others. And you can't improve on it. It's just perfect. And that's your power. So that kind of leads us to today. Kind of my sermon today is on repentance. And why is that such a powerful word? And what does it really mean? You know, repentance is a word that's used. I looked this up online, and, you know, some certain references said it's used 50 times in the Bible. Other times said 100 times in the Bible. Others said 75. It was, it kind of depends on the version that you're looking and the inference. In the Old Testament, the word repent or repentance truly is not a Hebrew word. It's kind of inferred from a couple of words, like turn away from evil or return to God. And it's inferred as repentance. But in the New Testament, it's you know, smack in front of you. It's the word repent, repentance is all over the place. And it's a word that's used commonly with salvation. It's almost like it's a condition, you know, repentance is. And it's a word that a lot of people misunderstand, especially those that are under the law. And as you guys know, you maybe don't know as well as I do, because we church hop a lot in Dallas. It's a long drive over here, so we don't always come, but we church hop. And when we're church hopping, gosh, I keep hearing law everywhere I go. And it drives me nuts. I'm like, no, you're not doing it right. I want to get up and preach, but the crowds are too big. This is more my speed. You know, the gospel is not meant to be preached under the law. It's meant to be preached as a free gift and a love letter. And the word repentance is used multiple times in the New Testament. In fact, I'm going to read about 10 verses real quick just to kind of give some reference. But I strongly encourage you guys, you can use, you know, your Bible app, or you can just use the internet and just say, you know, the word repent in, you know, the New Testament. And you can just start reading it. And it kind of really comes alive and how important. And it's always used as a warning. So I'm just going to start a little bit at the New Testament, go towards the end, and just a few of the verses here. But in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Luke 5:32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3:19, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that the time of refreshing may come from our Lord. Acts 11:18, so then even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life eternal. Romans 2:5, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. Revelations 2:5, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Revelations 3:3, remember therefore what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at the hour that I am coming. Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I approve and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Hebrews 12:17. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, and he found no chance to repent. And there were, though he sought it with tears. So these are strong words. And yet there's, you know, another 90 plus references that are either specific or implied, you know, from a couple of words. And it's a word that's used often kind of at end times. And it's a word that Jesus used when he was here and he was speaking of the last days. He's speaking of the last 2 days, the last 2,000 years. But specifically, Revelations kind of takes a baseball bat and really hits you upside the head with it. And, you know, as a Christian, you're kind of like, whoa, am I asleep? Am I engaging in sin? And, you know, kind of hoping that the master's not going to come for a while and I'll clean up later. I mean, you know, the church is going through all these different thoughts, and it doesn't take much to kind of, you know, watch the news, read online to see how far the church has fallen. And it's disheartening. God is going to bring a revival, and the revival is going to come because of the persecution. And the persecution is coming because the church is whoring around. And God's not doing this to punish us. He's doing this to bring us back to him. And for those of us who are hot in the word, that are totally in love, we have a burden on us to encourage others to repent. We have a burden on them. And so it's very important we understand what this repent means. So I looked at the definition of repent, and there's kind of the simple definition, and there's a little bit more detailed definition. But first, it says to turn away from evil, or to turn to God. So there's kind of a yin yang there: turn away from evil, the law; turn to God, you know, the gospel. And there's a real clear there. As you go a little bit further, it says to have sorrow or regret from one's sins or action and to ask for forgiveness, which is kind of turn away from evil. And the second is change your mind on how you think about God, and which is really the gospel. And that's kind of what we're going to focus on today, is changing your mind. Because the church is so big into wanting forgiveness and, you know, stop sinning, performance. And again, that's the law. And we get caught up in that. I mean, you think about it, the law was put into our DNA in the Garden of Eden, you know, knowing right from wrong. And since that day, you know, man has had to work. And so everything we do is based on works. It's based on performance. Your job, you do a good job, you keep it. You do a really good job, you get a bonus or a promotion. You do a bad job, you get fired. You know, it's kind of like I'm in this the job of life. I do a bad job, I go to hell. I do a good job, I go to heaven. That's kind of what we're taught when we're young. And it's what we're taught in most churches, you know, unfortunately. It's what we're taught. And so it's kind of built in our DNA, this can I be more good than bad? And then when you're bad, what happens? The devil's really good at saying, you sinned, you're going to hell, you're not going to make it. He's really good at condemning you. And so that leads us to repentance. Oh, I'm sorry, God, woe is me. Yeah, I'm going to fall on my face and throw ashes on me, And God, please forgive me. I'll never do it again. Okay, you're forgiven. You know, then, you know, a few days later, you're doing it all over again. And it's just really hard to sin. Stop sinning. It's really hard. In fact, It's impossible under the law, and it's impossible in the flesh, and it's impossible for man to stop sinning. They just can't stop sinning. And why is that? Again, it's because when I taught last time, because you're born with self-love. And self-love means you are selfish. So you're born selfish with conditional love. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you're born with selflessness, which means I go from being selfish to selfless. I go from being natural to supernatural. And that's the Holy Spirit that puts His love inside of you. Now, that love is in every one of you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have that love inside of you. And that love reveals to you the truth. And it lets you read the Word and say, oh, this makes perfect sense. Oh, I believe that. I don't completely understand it sometimes, but I believe it. I just do. And so, you know, one of the things that when I preach, I really want to equip you with the power and make it really simple for you to live victoriously every day and to make a difference. Because that difference is what produces joy in you, produces happiness in you. And so that's extremely important. So now that we really understand that, you know, selfish people, you know, are under the law. And why are you under the law as selfish? Because you always want to put yourself first. And putting yourself first means someone else has to lose. And so God created a bunch of rules that say, oh, you can't take other people's stuff because you want it. You can't take someone else's reputation because it makes you feel good. You know, you can't kill them. You can't lie. You can't take their spouse. You can't covet. You can't gossip, you know, false witness. You can't do all these things. And that's what selfish people do, is they're first. And if I'm first, someone else can't win. They have to have a second place and third place. And, you know, if I'm really selfish, I want them to be last place. And so the law was created for selfish people, everybody. But for those who receive the Holy Spirit, there is no law. You don't need the law, because I don't need to say, stop loving that person so much. You're loving them too much. You're helping these poor people out. You're helping people in need out. There's no law that says you can't do that. And there never will be a law that prevents you from loving other people. And in fact, if the whole world took on that attitude, then you'd have heaven here on earth. You would. And so God is showing us that, you know, throughout all the ages, that the law doesn't work with selfishness, that selfishness always prevails no matter how great the inventions or the times are. The greatest invention soon to be is artificial intelligence, and we're going to really learn what that's like with selfishness, because the programmers, the people who program it, are going to have self-interest. The people that control it and run it are going to have self-interest. And they're going to use it to control everybody else so they win. And it's as clear as day. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit at the end, but because it's a fun subject. I'm in software, so it's a lot. It's fun to kind of contemplate where we're going and where we are now. So let's get back to the second definition of repent. You know, change your mind. You know, turn to God, change your mind. So, you know, if you go read all those verses I read, you can kind of substitute repent for change your mind. Now, what are you changing your mind to? It can't just be changing, because you can change your mind into wrong thinking. But you've got to change your mind into who you are in Christ Jesus. You've been given a new name. Your new name is I am. The creature of God. I am an unconditional lover of God. That's who I am. I have the same spirit Christ Jesus has. The exact same spirit. Not a sub-spirit, not a second degree version of love, unconditional love. I have the same unconditional love that Jesus has. The same power that He has is in me. So do I let that out, or do I kind of hold it in? And that's kind of where repentance comes into play. Am I letting that unconditional love out, or am I holding it in? And this is key, because the unconditional love of God is your power. Do you guys hear this? The unconditional love is your power. Now, the key to unlock that power is repentance, believing in the unconditional love in you and through you. So I want you guys to hear me loud and clear. The key to unlocking that power is believing that you are an unconditional lover of Jesus Christ. That is your key to everything. And once you understand that key, you can unlock every scripture, you can unlock every circumstance, every single day. You have that key with you. It's a measure of faith. Everyone's been given a measure of faith so they can believe. Every man, you know, what are you putting your faith in? You know, the law, your conscience, right and wrong? Or are you putting your faith in unconditional love? You remember, unconditional love only comes from the Holy Spirit. Doesn't come anywhere else. So if you're putting your faith in unconditional love, now all the scriptures make really perfect sense. And they all say the exact same thing. They all say the exact same thing. You can read it over and over and you're like, wow, it's saying the same thing over and over, just, you know, a thousand different ways. But this is how you unlock the power in you. And it's powerful. I can't tell you how exciting, you know, this is. So I want to kind of get into that. You know, under the law, you're going to feel guilty. You're going to have remorse. You know, under the gospel, you should have joy. You should have happiness. And that comes from the unconditional love. If you believe that, you speak it with your mouth, you're going to feel it. And your feelings always follow your thoughts. Your thoughts always follow your choices. We've been given a free will. This free will, you need to exercise your free will and say, I am an unconditional lover of God. I believe that. As you meditate on that, your mind will change. As your mind changes, you will feel happy. And you won't be thinking about, what am I getting in return? You know, what's in it for me? You just don't think that way. So understanding that, you know, you can't stop sinning under the law. You can't stop sinning if you're selfish. Then you really understand the only way to stop sinning is by falling in love. So going back to turning to God, you know, believing who you are, that's how you stop sinning. That's how you do it. You know, Jim used to preach, you know, instead of trying to stop sinning, just go be with God. You know, and that's very true, but I want to go a little further than that, is because God's already with you. You don't need to go be with God. God's already with you. God is already in you. So you just start having to believe that God is in you, and it's His Spirit is a spirit of unconditional love in you. So let's talk about sin for a second. So we understand that sin is putting yourself first. It's self-interest, which leads to hurting other people. And there's really two types of sin. There's sins against others, and then there's sins against the body, yourself. So sin against others, the Ten Commandments is very clear in covering sins against others. You know, you can't make people work 7 days a week. You can't kill them. You can't steal from them. You can't lie to them. You can't covet them. You can't bear false witness about them. They're all things that hurt other people. And so do you just say, I'm going to quit doing that? You know, I'm going to quit lying today, and I'm never going to lie again. I'm just going to substitute it with another sin. And if you try to control sin, you just trade one in for another, because you're selfish and you can't stop being selfish. You can only take on the new nature of who you are. So what I believe repentance wants you to do is change your mind on how you see people. Change your mind on how you think about people. Change your mind by saying, I unconditionally love other people. I unconditionally love. So when you do that, you see people the way God sees them. And when you see them the way God sees them, you're not thinking, how does that person make me feel? You're not thinking like that. You're thinking, wow, what can I do for that person? That person's upset. That person's hurting. They're angry because they're hurting. You know, they flip me off the road because they just don't feel love. They're in a hurry. They've got anxiety. You know, why are people doing the things they're doing? It's because they're selfish. They've been hurt. They don't know the love of God. And when you see them that way, you have a whole different outlook. And, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they're doing." So he's being killed, and he's saying, "Forgive them, Lord." So he's got this spirit of uncontrolled love in him, and that's how he's looking at them. So when you have other people in your life, and we all do, you have to say daily, "I love that person unconditionally. I choose to love that person unconditionally. I choose to see them the way God sees them." And when you do that, you no longer want to take their stuff. You no longer want to put them down to make yourself feel better. You want them to be blessed. You want to help them. You want to feed the hungry. You want to tend to the poor. You want to help the needy. That's the nature you have because you believe that you have the power of unconditional love in you. That's who you are. It's your new nature. And so that's what repentance means. Now, the the next part of sin, and this is one that I think is extremely important, and this is one that the body of Christ really doesn't deal with well. This is the sin against the body, your body. And so a lot of Christians think of sin against myself. Why does it hurt anybody else? So what if I drink some alcohol? So what if I lust and look at pornography? So what if I, you know, smoke some pot? I'm not hurting anyone else. It's just myself. You know, you guys, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in your body. So when you do these things, you're sinning against the Holy Spirit. Your body was designed to be the house of the Holy Spirit to love others unconditionally. And when you start taking drugs, engaging in pornography, getting angry, being envious, being, you know, self-pity, being vain, all these sins against the body, two things happen. One is you really quench the Holy Spirit. You stop it from acting in your life. And two, you've just opened the door for the devil to come in and talk to you. And so the devil's going to say, you know, life's not fair. You're a victim. You know, nobody likes you. If you have sex, then people will like you. You're going to feel really good if you have sex. You're going to feel good if you take their stuff. You know, God made a mistake in you. You're really not this person who you think you are. You're somebody else. You're something different. You're not what God created you. You need to identify a different way. You open the door to demons, and these demons will lie to you, and they're so aggressive, and they will not stop. So if you are under the law and you try to repent, give me forgiveness, I'll never do it again, and then all of a sudden by Monday, you're doing it again and again, and then you come back next Sunday, "Pastor, please forgive me, I'm repenting of my sin, you know, I can't stop doing this," and you go through a deliverance, and it might be a real big formal deliverance, or it might be a little mini deliverance, but you just kind of repeat the same pattern over and over, because you really haven't figured out how to overcome sin against your own body. And the same way that you do it with other people, you do it with yourself. And you have to literally say, and this really works for me well, "I love other people so much that I want to be used to help them. And I love them more than I love myself. I love my son. I love my wife. I love my coworkers more than I love getting drunk. You know, I love my coworkers more than I want to be lazy. I love my kids enough that I want to provide for them. I love my spouse so much, I want to really take care of her. I love the poor people so much, I want to help them. Now, if you're drunk, you can't do that. If you're drug, impacted, you can't do that. So the Holy Spirit's in you. So you've been given this body, this vessel, to be a blessing to other people, to be a blessing to each other. And when you sin against the body, your body can't do that. You're being selfish. Hey, I just want a little bit of pleasure. I want to get high. I want to get drunk. I want to engage in, some vain activity. Well, you're being selfish, and you're robbing the Holy Spirit from being able to bless someone else. And so I see people that get into 12-step programs. I see people that try to get into accountability programs. I see people that try to do all kinds of things to stop sin against their own body. And the only way you can do that is to say, no, I'm an unconditional lover of the Holy Spirit in me. I'm an unconditional lover of the people around me that my body was designed and created to bless. And I love the people that God's given me more than I love temporal pleasure. And when you start thinking that way, then it's like, do I want to engage in something that's just fun for a few minutes at the expense of my son or my daughter or my wife or my friend or my coworker, knowing that they're going to miss out on a blessing? That's your power. When you start looking at it that way, then it's an easy choice. Do you unconditionally love others enough to not want to engage in a personal sin against your own body? I hope you guys hear me loud and clear on this, because this sin against the body is what opens the door and what leads to sin against others. Because when you open the door to demons, I really believe that you've kind of this conscience that you've got, that God's given you, knowing right from wrong. It's almost like a force field around your mind. And as soon as you engage in alcohol, drugs, bad music, bad behavior, it's like that conscience gets removed, that force field gets removed, and the devil can have a field day and just tell you to do all kinds of things. And it starts with hurting yourself, and then it leads to hurting others. And it doesn't take much to see what's going on in the world. I mean, you can just watch the news, and with the shootings, the mass killings, the violence, the looting, the rioting, the road rage, you can see it, and it's going to increase. It's going to increase, and it's going to get worse. And God has a plan to let it get worse, because he's really separating the wheat from the chaff. He wants to put the good fruit here, the bad fruit here. So he's saying, pick your side, right now. And so a lot of the lukewarm Christians, you go back and you read the seven churches in Revelation, they're lukewarm. They've fallen out of love with their first love. They forgot who they are in Christ Jesus. They're no longer in love. They're in self-love. They're back under the law. They're being taught by their pastors to work out their salvation with good deeds. They're being taught to tithe under the law, that if you give, you're going to get blessed. And that is just wrong teaching. Tithing is something that is called for. It has blessings under it, because all the law has blessings too. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. But tithing is the law. Giving is the gospel. And under the gospel, you shouldn't be limited to, I've got to give 10%. I've got to give. It's you give as the unconditional love in you calls upon you. Tithing is something you have to do, and it's something you're taught by many churches to do because it's the only way to get blessed. Where giving is, it's free. Remember, the Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation, is free. The whore, you got to pay. The bride, it's free. She makes love to you for free. The whore, you got to pay up. And so the law, you got to tithe. The gospel, you give. You give because you unconditionally love. You give your time. You give your service. You know, you give your money. You give because you want to. And if you have that love in you, and it's a love that comes to you in you by faith. We are changed from one degree of glory by another by faith. Not by sight, but by faith. So as you meditate on that and you proclaim that's who you are in Christ Jesus, then you will be like those wise virgins that said, hey, Lord, when did I do these things? You know, when did I feed the sick or the hungry and tend to the sick? You know, because you're not counting. You're not thinking about it. You're not looking for something in return. The law is you've got to be something in return for it. Where the gospel, it's always free. It's always a free gift. You know, so, you know, if I were a full-time pastor, I would say don't tithe, just free will gift. You know, give because you love. Give because you want to help the poor people in the church. Give because you want to continue the word to be spread and to save people. That's what God wants. You know, he's not into sacrifices. You know, he's into, you know, if there's a sacrifice, it should be a sacrifice of love. And it's not something that you're saying, I'm sacrificing this. It's something, no, I want to do this. I want to help people out. And the fruit that comes from that, I mean, you can read the fruit is love, peace, joy, you know, happiness. It's non-ending. It's amazing. And so this is what we're called to do. It's what we're called to do, you know, in these last days. To me, this is the true repentance. Is repenting is changing your mind on who you are in Christ Jesus and believing that you are an unconditional lover of God. That is repentance. Feeling guilty, feeling sorry, I can't tell you how many times I have felt guilty and felt sorry for sinning. And it's just over and over and over. And it just doesn't work. I cannot stop sinning by feeling bad about it. I cannot. And no man can, or woman. It's impossible. You can only start loving others. And when you start loving others, you don't sin. You're not sinning. And in fact, your love is stronger than sin. Love is always stronger than sin. Always. It's so important you understand that, and that's what repentance is. So when you go read all these verses about repentance, you can read it under the law and say, oh my gosh, I'm afraid, I gotta repent. So what does the law produce in you? Fear. Produces fear. It's afraid I'm gonna miss out, afraid I'm not gonna make it to the kingdom of heaven. Afraid there's consequences for behaving poorly. Afraid I'm gonna get fired at work. What does the gospel produce? Hope. Produces hope. Hope that everything's going to work out my way. And so when you're in unconditional love, it produces hope. And it's a great thing, hope is. So true repentance doesn't just keep you from sinning, but will keep you from the hour of testing. But more importantly, true repentance will keep others from being tested, will keep others from sinning. And you have to think like that. It can't be just, oh, I want to repent the right way so I'm not going through persecution. No, I want to repent so you guys don't go through persecution. Do you guys understand the difference? You know, is there a repentance that's about me or is there a repentance about other people? This is the key that unlocks the power that's in you. It's so, so powerful, but yet it's so simple. There's nothing more powerful on earth than the unconditional love of the Holy Spirit. And that unconditional love is in you to will and to do. And all you have to do is take the key of faith and unlock it by saying, I believe I'm an unconditional lover through Christ Jesus. That's my new nature. That's who I am. And I don't care. Excuse me. Let me get some water here. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how bad the world's going. I don't care that China's taking over everything and that the U.S. has sold themselves, you know, out. I'm going to go by what God says, and I'm going to go by my new nature, that I unconditionally love others. I'm going to tell you that you put that nature on yourself, you can change the world. You'll change yourself. You'll change your family. You'll change your friends, your coworkers. You'll change the world. And, you know, one man did it, and he didn't do it with a lot of resources. He didn't have any resources. He didn't need them. You don't need any resources. You don't need any money to do this. You just need to take the key of unconditional love to unlock the power that's in you. So I hope this makes sense to you. You know, when you go back to the 10 virgins, which was my first message, the wise virgins repented based on the unconditional love in them. It was the oil in their lamp. The foolish virgins repented by going to the marketplace. So when you read these verses that repent, you know, the time is at hand. You know, you can't repent by going to the marketplace. You can't repent by buying salvation. You cannot repent by, you know, asking for forgiveness, because that's just a never-ending loop. Repent comes by believing who you are in Christ Jesus. And then that unconditional love in you overcomes all sins. It wipes out every sin. So I know you guys, you have this. You know that this is true. It resonates in your hearts and in your minds. So I want to, you know, end with, you know, Acts 17:30. And it says, the times of ignorance, you know, were overlooked, but now God commands all people everywhere to repent. All people everywhere to repent. So that's the time that we are now. All people everywhere. It said all people everywhere. I'm sorry, I don't want to sin anymore. No. All people everywhere to fall in love. Unconditional love. The love of the Holy Spirit that's in you. You guys have it. And as small as this church is, we have enough power with that to change the world. So, does anybody have any questions? Any comments?
I was just going to add, I love what you're sharing. There's been two scriptures that sort of tell the story in my mind of what you're sharing. One is, I was thinking of Cain and how Cain is, he's got that old mindset that we have to repent from. And it's in Romans 7, you know, it talks about how there's these two natures that are in everybody. It's really the explanation for why we have all this mental instability and people with bitterness and depression and anxiety. It says, you know, Paul's talking about that Romans 7 experience. He says, for to will is present with me. You know, the good, I can will the good, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And it's that beating yourself up and that law that you can't escape from. The whole world is in that. Then the other scripture that comes to me that's the repent and change your mind is Romans 4:5, and it says, but to him that worketh not, but believes on him, justifies the ungodly, to him shall his faith be counted for righteousness. That unconditional love that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's the leap, the repentance that just pulls you out of that, beating yourself up, and other people that are beating themselves up, you know, if we can help others just escape that.
Amen.
That's the gospel.
I thought of something when you said that, and I have to review the story, but one of the most shocking stories in the New Testament is the one of Ananias and Sapphira. When, this was, the church was just beginning, and your division of the gospel and the law, they were still living under the law, and they felt like they had to keep for themselves or be selfish, but they had to make a sacrifice. They were under a different system. And this huge barrier came, and they were punished shouldn't have done this, you know, but she didn't. She kept on staying over under the law. And that's a shocking story. But, you know, perhaps that's for our enlightenment, the right kind of enlightenment. for our enlightenment, that we have to be here free. Everything is free under the law. They were compelled. They hid it. It was selfish. It was two differences. What a story.
Yeah.
And she was given the opportunity, I believe, to the she chose.
Yeah. Well, if you're, remember, if you're selfish, the law just doesn't work. It's designed to prevent you from hurting other people, but people are going to find ways to do it. They just are. Selfishness is, and when you're, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, then you just can never understand selflessness. You just can't. And so, no matter how many opportunities you're given to repent or change, if you're under the law, you're under selfishness, you'll never understand. You'll never change. You just can't. And so, you know, God reveals to us His love, and when we accept that, that's what changes us, and that's what's in us, to willing to do His good pleasure. You know, the story of Cain and Abel, you know, I speak on that. My kids growing up all the time, and you really see the whole gospel, the whole Bible, in just that story. You know, Abel gave freely out of love, and Cain is giving because he has to under the law. And then, you know, and you kind of understand that, because the first words that God says to children of the Bible is, "Why aren't you happy? Why aren't you happy? You know, why is your face so solemn, and, you know, why are you so depressed?" You know, and that's what God wants us happy. And He knows that selfishness isn't going to lead us to happiness. And He says to Cain, you know, "Don't you see that sin's at the door, you know, waiting for you, and you must master it?" And He's basically saying that the law is right here, and you're going to have to follow the law. You can't do it. Cain couldn't do it. So Cain's like, "Okay, I'm going to repent. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. I'll be good. I'll be better next time." And then what does he do? Goes out in the field, gets angry. The devil lies to him, so he commits murder. Then he's like, "Oh, God, you know, I repent again. I repent again." You know, it's if you're selfish, then you're just going to be Cain, always be Cain, even as a Christian. You can live like Cain as a Christian. And it's no way to live, because the devil really comes after you if, as a Christian, trying to live under the law. The devil will really come to steal, destroy, and kill you. And that's what the devil does. And so, but thank God He's given us the Holy Spirit to overcome the world, just as He did. So, this is really a simple message. It's one that you don't have to meditate and read a lot of scripture. You just have to believe this is who you are. And as you read the scripture, you can almost substitute the words of "I'm an unconditional lover" everywhere. And it just takes on a whole new meaning. You know, and it's simple. And the gospel is meant to be simple. That's why it's, you know, the foolish and the lowly people, and they're the ones that get it, you know, and the smart, rich ones don't get it. Yeah. Anybody else have any testimonies or comments? Please. Yeah.
What a thing. And Jesus said it would be as it was in His day.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah is a sign.
Yes.
Such an illustration to me. You preach the gospel and say, "Okay, let's see God strike him."
Yeah.
What a message. Thank you.
Mel, you're very welcome. You know, do you have a message back to, or a comment, or not?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I thought you saw you raise your hand. I'm not
oh,
sure.
No, I did. I just.
Okay.
In Galatians right here, what the Messiah has freed us for is freedom. Exclamation point. That's what it has right here in mind. Exclamation point. It's not a subtle statement. It's free! Mm-hmm. Take it. It's free. You know, on the way here,
well, the law is slavery, and it'll just wear you out, and it just leads to death, because in the law there has to be death, and thank God that Christ paid the price in the law, and so the law is now nullified. We don't have it anymore, and so you have to daily die to your flesh by faith and daily resurrect to unconditional love and believe that's who you are. And if you do that every day, you'll see a huge difference in your life. Anybody else? Jeff?
Just one thing that I just really impressed upon me today. And whenever you share, I hear revelations. Like, it's probably the time that we're in. I just, you know, in Revelations 12:10, it says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of this Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And this verse was just speaking out to me today as you were sharing, because, and I remember a couple years about, you know, Ron Tizo in our Song of Songs Bible study, he was talking about believers. There's going to be a lot of Christians that go to heaven but didn't overcome. They were overcame, you know. And then there's overcoming, which is what you're speaking of, which is not us, but the Holy Spirit living in us by the blood of the Lamb. Daily, we're coming, saying, Lord, I can't do this law. This thing is just waiting on us. You know, and we do come into His presence. I just, you know, this love and this leading and this, the way we move about in our lives is a coming from love. It's coming from a death to self and a Holy Spirit that's in us that is, you know, our actions, our moving, our living is out of love. It's from a death that happened that morning. And, mm-hmm. You know? There's, I think that know, I think that there's things that we do overcome that we don't necessarily struggle with anymore. There's a new thing that we're going to struggle with. There's a new battle. But even in that battling, and even in that dying, and even in that overcoming, there's relationship that God that we're having with the Lord that's getting richer and more beautiful and more experienced, actually. You know, there's a certain level. It was a powerful message today.
Yeah.
You don't hear that very often, what you're sharing, you know, especially right
yeah.
now. And when they do, it comes out as law, and it can't.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's so subtle
yeah.
to share this message in such a way that it's completely the blood of the Lamb and the Holy Spirit that does it all. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's so subtle.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And these are great words of encouragement. And, you know, we're all hearing the same thing. My gift to you guys is to try to really bring clarity to it and make it just really simple. You know, make it, you know, easy enough that we can understand it and so we can share it with others, because it really is easy. It's not meant to be hard. It's meant to be easy. And, you know, there really shouldn't be a work upon us. We don't need to say, God, draw me near to you. God already has. He's already in you. He can't get any closer than he is. He's inside of you. So, you know, you don't need to be drawn near. You're here. You just need to listen. 10 years ago, longer than that, 11, you know, I got sick and had throat cancer and overcame it, and it was a miracle of God. But when I was going through it, you know, you can't really eat. You have to kind of live through a feeding tube, and it's horrible, horrible experience. But, you know, your desire to eat, your desire to do all kinds of things kind of goes away because you can't do anything else but stay alive. And so you kind of don't have any choices but to kind of get close to God when you do it. I'll never forget one day I would do my exercise, which is kind of walk around the backyard. That was about it. All I could muster. And I started looking around and I just said, God, why are you doing this to me? And he spoke to me and he said, you see the trees and the bushes and the grass? You prune those and I'm pruning you. And I said, yeah, but it's too much. And he said, I've brought, you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, you know, earthquakes. The land always comes back stronger, and so will you. Then I said, how do I know I'm not crazy just listening to myself talk? And these were the words he said, is I'm always talking to you. You just start listening. So he's always there. He's always there talking to you. It's you that's not hearing him. And so it's not like I got to go find God. I need to go to church to do it. I need to go get with the pastor to pray. I need to repent under the law and say, forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned. You know, God's in you right now. And he just wants to talk to you right now. And so you just have to, by faith, believe, hey, I'm a new creature of God. He's in me. I'm an unconditional lover. I have access to that same Holy Spirit. God, speak to me. And boy, you can just hear that voice. And it's very consistent. And it's, I love you. And I want you to love others. And it says the same thing over and over. It says it in many different ways, but it's always the same message. It's always the same message. And so it's important. You know, I look at kind of where we are as a society. And, you know, every day, every month, I'm always like, is this it? Are we there yet? You know, when's the Lord coming back? I'm so excited. And just when you think it can't get any crazier, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, is here. And it's going to change the world. And everybody is like kind of blown away by it. But I tell you, the verse that really hits me when all this AI broke out was Revelations 13:15. And power was given to the image of the beast so that it had life. And, you know, you think about that. What's John talking to? That the image of the beast is not the beast itself. The beast has always been a country, an empire, or an individual that rules that country or empire. That there's an image of the beast, which is going to be not real, that has life, that takes over, that acts like life. And that's what this AI does. I mean, you know, as humans, we're all organic robots. You know, God's created us. The DNA in us is software code. Our bodies are the hardware. And the electricity that powers us is the Holy Spirit. You know, the difference is we've been given access to unconditional love, kind of a governor over our DNA. And that DNA, without it, is just going to run a program that kind of runs itself based on deductive reasoning. And it can't really make sense of unconditional love. When to break the exception, when to give forgiveness. Don't go by what happened. Just doesn't matter what happened, unconditional love. And so AI is going to be programmed to have conditions on it. It's going to be the ultimate law that has access to all the knowledge in the world, or all the knowledge that's been given access to it. And it'll be filtered on what the programmers or the people in control or power decide what's good and what's evil. And they're going to use it. But you think about the power that it has access to all this information. But we have access through the Holy Spirit to the God that created the universe, and who has more information, has information from all time, both, you know, as far back for as eternity, as far forward as eternity. We have access to that same information. AI may have access to all the information that man has created. We have access to all the information, even that information that's not recorded, because man only records information as they want to display it. And so we have access to everything. And so it's important that we, by faith, believe who we are in Christ Jesus, that we're unconditional lovers. And as you do that, you'll quickly start hearing the Holy Spirit. And AI is not going to have anything on you. You're going to have access to more information than it will. And so it's exciting because it's you know, how far can man go? And I think, you know, it's the world's showing us how far it can go. And so the Lord's giving us an opportunity to say, okay, I'm going to let you all the way from the invention of fire all the way up to, you know, replacing yourself with artificial intelligence, that nothing works under the law. Nothing works. As long as you're selfish, nothing works. Doesn't matter how many conveniences you have, how much money you have, how much power, how much control, nothing works. Only unconditional love works. And so it's exciting because we know we're getting closer to the end. We know that we're called to help each other. And now's the time to do it. And it just starts with repentance, and that repentance is, who am I in Christ? That's who I am. And I'm an unconditional lover, and that's just changing my mind on who I am, and then I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Not some things, all things. And I just love that verse in Acts 17:30, that he commands all people everywhere to change their mind. He commands all people everywhere to love each other unconditionally. That's how I read it. And that's the power of the gospel. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you've given us ears to hear and eyes to see through the Spirit and not through the flesh. That this message today has touched somebody's life, and we hope it's touched many people's lives, and that they will be a conduit for your love and that they can make a difference. We thank you in advance that that will be the case, and we thank you for the difference we've made in our own lives. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.